Are you ready for the Word this morning? All right. I got 20 of you. I got 20 of you with me. And we'll take on the rest of you. And if you have your copy of God's Word this morning, if you'll turn in the book of Galatians chapter 4. And I really struggled with what to preach this morning. I didn't struggle because God struggled. I struggled because I struggled. And God always knows what He wants. So I have no idea where I'm going this morning. I may just go ahead and just do a little old-time Holy Ghost preaching, if that's all right. And I like to teach, and I like to, if you, on Thursday nights, we're teaching on, we're going through church history on Thursday nights. And I'm doing a series on why church. And on Thursday nights, we're doing how we got here and how we got here. And so we're doing a Bible study on going through church history, understanding how the church got where it is, how we got where we are today. And on Sunday mornings, I'm preaching on why church. Why do you need the church this morning? Why is the church should be important in your life? Why do we need fellowship this morning? And so the Lord has led me to a couple places in Scripture. And so if it's all right, I'm just going to preach a little bit. Now, you have to be a little more mature to handle this morning. Is that all right? Can I have permission to be free this morning and just go ahead and preach it like God gave it to me? Is that all right? Or am I going to have to tiptoe this morning so that y'all don't leave mad at me? I'm going to preach it. Is that all right if I preach it for a while? Just give me a few minutes, all right? And I'll try not to preach all day long. But if I ain't got no amens and nobody helping me, I may just have to preach until you get it. All right? But God is good this morning. But in the book of Galatians chapter 4, we're going to go to a couple of places today. I have no idea where we're going. All I know is where we're beginning. But we'll do the best we can. And we talked about the the position of the church last week. That why church? Because of your position. The Bible tells us there in 2 Peter that we are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. That is our position as the church. That God has, through His blood and through redemption, has given us all a position in the church and in His kingdom. And so the church is positioned, and so God has put attributes in the church. We are a representation of God in the earth. We are His chosen race. It's not ethnos. It means a commonality through a bloodline. We've all been bought with the blood of Jesus. And so there's a commonality with us this morning. We all have been saved and washed in the blood of Jesus. All of us have come through the cross this morning. And so there's a commonality with us this morning. We're a royal priesthood, the Scripture says. And so not by being a royal priesthood, we have the attributes of priest and king. That God has given us the ability as priests. What were the priests? They stood in representation before the people. God has called us as the church to speak to man about God and to speak to God about man. That's what the priest's job was to represent God's people. And so we're to represent God in the earth. We're to speak to men about God. We are a royal priesthood. And so God has called us to be a royal priesthood. A holy nation. That word is ethnos. It means a purity about us. There's a distinctiveness about the church. There's a distinctiveness about... Did my mic fail? Can y'all hear me? Okay, good. All right. There's a distinctiveness about the church. We are different. Amen. We should be different. Amen. And so God's called us to be the church. And so there's a distinctiveness when you come into this building. It's not like going to the movie. It's not like going to a ball game. But we ought to be maybe a little more like going to a ball game, because some of y'all get more happier at the ball game than you do here. I'm just saying. I'm not throwing rocks. I'm just telling y'all. I've seen some of y'all, and I know how you act when little Johnny gets a base hit and you're about to rip off the head of the person next to you because you're so happy you can't contain yourself. We need to get a little bit happy about our salvation and what Christ has done for us. Because if you got just as happy about little Johnny getting a base hit, you ought to be twice as happy about what Christ has done for you. Huh? Is it all right if I preach a little bit? So we're the church, and we're the representation of God in the earth. But I come across the Scripture this week that's very interesting, and I've been listening to some preachers on the church, and I've been listening to reading some articles, and I thought, Lord, I need to hear the heart of God for this hour and what we are as the church. And I came upon this scripture, and I came upon it a few weeks ago that it spoke to me, and it spoke to me personally first. But in Galatians chapter 4, I want to read a few verses of scripture to begin this morning. It says, "Now I say to you, as long as the heir is a child, he does not differ from a slave, although he is the owner of everything. But he is under guardians and managers until the date set by his father." Some translation says, "until the appointed time of the father." "So also we, while we were children, were held in bondage under the elements of things of this world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, so that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son in our hearts." Isn't that good news? "Crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then you are an heir through God." You are an heir through God. The Bible says that we are joint heirs with Christ. So what's Jesus is ours. Now that's a little hard for us to comprehend this morning, because the Scripture says that we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And so we are heirs with Christ. Hebrews 2 tells us that we are to be delighted or to rejoice in the fact and not be ashamed to call Christ a brother, as it would say. Now, I want to spend a little bit and talk a little bit this morning. Now, we talk a lot about harvest. One of the things that the preachers like to preach on is harvest. It's a principle in the Word of God. But we speak little on the inheritance of the believer. It's God's desire that you walk in everything that God has for your life. God wants you to walk in everything that He's made available for you this morning. There is an inheritance that we have as believers. When we leave this earth, there's an inheritance that is waiting for us on the other side. There's an inheritance waiting for us when He returns and He pulls His church together and we leave this world and we get new bodies and we're with the Lord. To be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. There's an inheritance that we have through the blood of Jesus Christ that is on the other side. But while we're here, I said, while we're here, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There's things that the believer has access to this morning. That is an inheritance that we have by being joint heirs with Christ. Now we like to talk about inheritance and harvest, but as long as we know that harvest is a important principle of the Word of God, the Scripture says, as long as earth remains, there is seed time and harvest. Galatians 6 said, "In due season you shall reap if you faint not." That is a spiritual law that governs the universe. It's not just church. Harvest principle is not just church. It's not just with your tithe. It's just not with giving. It's just not what you sow, you reap, or our conversations or relationships. But it governs the earth also. It also governs Granddaddy's tomatoes. Huh? And his corn also. Huh? That is a principle in the earth. What you sow, you shall also reap. It is a worldly principle. The Bible says also in Ephesians 5, it says that we are to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time and the days when the days are evil. In other words, we're to walk circumspectly. It means we're to walk carefully. It means the word actually comes from the root word, means circumference, to walk circumspectly, to walk within our circle, walk with an understanding that life is a circle. In other words, what you send out will come back. And so it tells us that we are to walk carefully in that day. And here's the thing. When you obey the principle of harvest and reaping and sowing, what happens is you expedite the process of God's will in your life. That's what it tells us in verse 17 of Ephesians 5. That the will of God might be done in your life. So when we walk, understanding that we reap what we sow, understanding that when we treat people right, we receive back, right? That when we sow, that when we obey that principle, what does it do? It speeds up the process of God's will in our life. In other words, you get to where God wants you to be quickly by obeying the Word of God. You want a shortcut to the will of God in your life? Obey the Word of God. And so it's a principle of harvest. And so we know a lot about harvest, but we have little understanding about inheritance. Harvest has to do with something you did. When you did it, there's a reaction, a consequence. In other words, from a word, an action, a gift, an attitude, a decision you make, there is a reaction to it, a consequence. But inheritance is different. Inheritance has nothing to do with what you do. It has to do with who you are. Ha ha. Now, I don't know if you got that, but that's good. Inheritance has to do with who you are. Who you represent. Whose child you are. Now, someday when I die, more than likely it'll be my children that will inherit my great estate. And I know they're excited about that. And if God's good enough to bless me, you are probably not going to be a part of my inheritance because you're not my child. You don't carry my name. And I don't carry your name. Inheritance is about who your daddy is. And what the church is, and the inheritance of the church, comes out of whose name they call. There's an inheritance for the church that comes upon the church by just the fact that we are joint heirs with Christ. By who we know, who we are, who we represent. There's inheritance that has been set up for the body of Christ, for you and I, and us as believers. But we'll never get our inheritance if we never have an understanding that we have a right to it, or know what we have a right to. In other words, you got to know who you are and what God has said in His Word about inheritance, and understand that what is Jesus is ours. What the Father has given to the Son, He's made available also to the church. Now, if you get a revelation of that this morning, you'll live a little bit different. You'll have an understanding of what God has provided for your life. That there is, the church does have access to an inheritance on this earth that we have access to as the church, that distinctively makes us different because we are joint heirs with Christ Jesus. Now here in Galatians it says if you have an inheritance coming and you are an age, it says, now I say as long as an heir is a child, he does not differ from a slave, although he is the owner of it all. Or some translations say, even though he is master of it all. In other words, if you have an inheritance coming and you're not of age, you could be living under a bridge and it doesn't matter. The truth is that you could have an inheritance coming, and if you're not of age to receive that inheritance, you could be an heir, but you not have access to it until, he says here, until the day that is appointed by the Father, until the day when the stipulation of age is met. Now what Paul is talking about here is he's talking about maturity. Reaching the age of maturity. That to receive inheritance, sometimes there's the stipulation of a certain level of maturity in order for that inheritance to be released into that man's life or that person's life. It was common in biblical days to put stipulation on those that inherited, that they were considered heirs, but they did not receive, just as it is in our day, until the day they come to the place. Now, you could be the heir of the Rockefellers or the Kennedys or the Vanderbilts or even the Trumps this morning, and billions, but if you're not of the age, you'll never get to touch it as long as you live in a state of immaturity. Now, what Paul is saying is that the church has access to certain things that are a part of our inheritance, but the thing is, a lot of us never reach it are able to access it because we've never reached the age of maturity in God. And so, even though we're heirs, we don't walk in it because we remain as a child. We live our lives as a child. We remain spiritually as a child. We never mature. And that is God's desire to give us everything that He's provided in His Word for us, but as long as we remain immature, we'll never receive the inheritance that God has for us. God's not going to release His inheritance to our life unless we're ready to receive it and to manage it. Why would God bless us knowing that if we take that inheritance and misuse it, Why? Why do people put stipulations on maturity? Because they know that if Bobo got his inheritance at 19, that by the time Bobo was 25, he wouldn't have an inheritance. Because Daddy knows that Bobo is not ready to receive what he's left for him. So he puts a stipulation on maturity. And God says there are things in the kingdom that the church has access to. But I believe we live in a day when the church has failed to access some inheritance that is truly theirs because we remain in a place of immaturity. Amen. All right. I'm going to move on. You say, well, what is inheritance, Pastor? A prearranged blessing to be released at a specific time of maturity, designed by the Father to be released that once the child has come to a certain place in his life. The writer says, you may be an heir, but as long as you walk in immaturity, you will never see it. In other words, could it be that God wants blessing in your hands? Maybe God wants healing in your hands. Maybe God wants a breakthrough in your hand. Maybe God wants to put certain things in your... Maybe God wants to put an anointing in your hands to go to the nations. Maybe God wants to bless you, to bless others. Maybe God wants to do certain things in your life, but He can never bring it to you because you've never learned how to walk in the place of maturity, and so it's always eluded you. Huh? How many churches are walking that way this morning? They never have the fullness of what God wants in their lives because they never reach a place of maturity. They're always in the same immature place. God is always having to deal with the same thing in that church, the same thing in their lives, the cyclical, recycle thing that God is always having. They never learn to mature and they miss out on what God has for them because they never learn how to grow up in God. I'm telling you this morning that there's things that God, but you're not walking in any of it because you're stuck in a childless state and a mindset. You're stuck in immaturity. You're stuck in a place where you're easily offended all the time, where you're always wearing your emotions on your side. Everybody makes you mad. You don't pray. You don't read the Word of God. You don't serve nobody. You don't support the work of God, either with your time or finances. Then you don't walk and be in obedience with the Word of God. And then you turn and say, God, where's my blessing? God, why aren't you working in my life? People say, where's the blessing of God? It's there, but you just got to grow up a little bit. Huh? And God wants to do it. He wants to bring it to you. He wants to bring breakthrough in areas of your life. He wants to bring things to your life. But God is not going to put things in your life if you're not mature to handle the blessings that He puts in your life. Huh? Why would God put you in charge of teaching 30 people? Well, sometimes we just have to wait to God to work in our lives. And God wants to bring us to maturity. You don't sow for the gifts in the Spirit. It's your inheritance. You don't sow for the power of God. It's your inheritance. You don't sow for Christ's likeness. It's your inheritance. Those things are our rights to us by being born again. You won't obtain or walk in it as long as you are locked in an immature state. Spiritual gifts are not what you sow for. spiritual gifts and the gifts of the Lord in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 are given to us and are released to us based upon our maturity. Huh? Why would God give you the gift of healing? Oh my. Why would God allow you to obtain certain gifts in your life and you misuse what God gives you? The problem is that we got gifts and we misuse them in the church now. Because we've not been mature in handling them. You don't sow for the power of God. The power of God is a right as a believer. We have access to the power of God. We have access to come before the throne of grace. We have access to the anointing of God. We have access to deliverance and power that sets men free. We have access to everything that God has given us. But we have to be mature in handling it. Why would God send His anointing on this church to set people free if we couldn't handle the people that He sets free? Okay. All right. That's all right. I'm not scared. I'm going to preach anyway. He says the first... Now, here, are you ready? Because now it moves. It's one thing to understand whether or not we're mature enough to handle the gifts of the Spirit or handle the gifts that God brings in our life, or we're mature to receive everything that's inherent. But here's the next part. This is a difficult part. This is hard to preach. All right? This is hard to preach. Okay, all right. It says there in verse 2, it says, but he is under guardians and managers until the date is set by the Father, or till an appointed time by the Father. He is under guardians and stewards until the time that is appointed unto the Father. Now, there's a reason why God does that. There's a reason why God puts immature people under guardians and stewards. Now, that verse is really in conflict with American culture. Because most of American culture says, nobody is going to tell me what to do. I submit to nobody but myself. I am not under the headship or the leadership of anyone. Matter of fact, our culture has got to the point to where we don't even put in marriages anymore. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands. Huh? Right? Because when you use words like submission, you use words like coming under, you use words like spiritual authority, it's kind of anti what our culture is used to. And there's a resistance immediately that comes up against it. But listen, it's part of the reason why marriages struggle. It's the reason why homes are out of shape, because the reason is if we not learn how to order our house, there is an order that God has for everything. He has an order for marriage. He has an order for the family. He has an order for the church. And so God, the family can't operate. Because see, here's what happens is that God wants to bless the church and use the church in this hour. But the church is in such a place that it's such out of order, God cannot even bring the inheritance that the church deserves to have, because everything in the house of God is so messed up. Okay, all right. Because culture now says that we you know, it's an unruly age. It's a rebellious age. It's an unteachable age. We say, I'm not submitting to nobody. That's the spirit of our age. That is the spirit of the hour we live in. But God wants to bring access to our lives. God wants to order our homes and our households. But the thing is, why would God... I have to be careful. Because I love you. And I want God's best for you. And this speaks to me just as much as it does you. But we live in an hour when our lives are so backwards. When authority is so backwards. Our homes are so bad. Today we've got children telling the parents what they're going to do. Huh? What they're going to eat. When they're going to bed. What they're going to do. Right? We got where? Johnny gets whatever Johnny wants. Because I don't want Johnny to feel bad and feel rejected, and I don't want Johnny to heart the hurts. I saw on the news, I'm going for it, all right? I saw on the news just this week that they gave out ninth place trophies. Ninth place! You should not even been in a game if you end up in ninth place. And they're giving you a trophy. Now, what are you going to do when you grow up and show your kid, hey, son, come look at my ninth place trophy. Are you kidding me? Can I tell you, when I was growing up, I didn't get picked for every game. Huh? There were times I lost. There were fights I lost. There was arguments. I didn't get my way in school every day. I didn't get to do what I wanted to do every day. I'm not that damaged. I'm a little damaged, but I'm not that damaged. Huh? But we live in an hour and nobody can be told no. Nobody can be told. Listen, but we've allowed that stuff to breathe into the church. We've allowed people who wanted to be in leadership that can't even lead their homes, but they want to lead the church. We got people that want to be on the platform to sing, and they can't sing, they can't play, but we're afraid to say no because we don't want to hurt their feelings. Y'all hear what I'm saying? And so pastors have become weak, and leaders have become weak. And what happens is we have people operating in gifts that they ain't supposed to be operating in. They're holding offices that they ain't mature enough to hold. The gifts that God didn't give them weren't for that. They don't have the, and nobody's told them no. Somebody in this generation has got to get a hold of the fact that there's things that God has called us to do and things that God hasn't. Do what God's called you to do and stay away from what God hasn't called you to do. Because the truth is, God is looking for a mature church that He can release the inheritance that the church has. But if everything is out of order, God can't send anything. Woo! Uh-huh. Ha! Ha! Ha ha ha. But that's how our culture is. And that's how why the church has ended up in a place of place. Listen, God says you have access to it. But I'm not going to release it to you until you're ready to receive it. That's the principle of the kingdom of God. Now we can fake it, you can act like it, you can do what you can act like you, but you ain't got it, baby, unless you got it. We can act like we got power all we want. But if people leaving out of here the same way they came in, we ain't got nothing. Huh? Y'all hear? We can claim we've got the answer, but if people leaving out of here, they're more depressed than when they walked in, more busted up than when they showed up, we ain't got it, sweetheart. And in order to get it, we got to grow up and be ready to receive it. And it may take some maturity in your life and my life, which means somebody must have to speak into your life and tell you no. Oh, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. But under guardians and stewards, the meaning is a place... What does that mean, guardians and stewards? It means this. It means a place in your life and in which through relationships, it is the relationships that God brings into your life through other people. You can never walk in your inheritance until you learn to value the relationships and the people that God brings into your life. You'll never walk in maturity until you learn to understand that the people that God brings into your life, He brings into your life for a reason. There's a time when everybody has to be under. There's a time when everybody has to be taught. There's a time when everybody has to mature. There's a time, even though you master of it all, there's a time we all have to come under. There's a time we all have to be disciplined. There's a time when we all have to be... But what happens is, We try to bypass that process. We want it now. Give it to me now, God. I want to bypass the process of maturity. I want it, but I don't want to pay the price that it takes to get it. Okay. See, that's the reason that... See, people that's trying to grow you up is sometimes the reason that people leave and walk away from you. The reason why you walk away from some people, the reason why you walk away from some churches is because some places are trying to mature you and you don't like that. You don't want to be mature. God brings some people in your life and brings some people in your life to speak into your weakness. And you wonder why you're locked in a place of immaturity or a mentality, a slavery mentality or a slavery state. It's because you've not learned and understand the value of relationships of people in your life. It's interesting, the words guardians and stewards mean. The word guardian there comes from the word means to be a proculator or overseer of a household. In other words, God will bring people into your life that has the ability and all that have the ability to bring covering to your life, to bring covering over your life. God wants all of us to be in a place to where we find covering and protection of God. There are people that God will bring in your life that will be an encouragement, a covering for your life. Someone to be amenable to, somebody to answer to, somebody to run what you're going through in life for so they can be an encouragement in your life, a covering, someone who can agree for you, an overseer in your life. Because the key to inheritance is understanding that there are people that God brings into your life to help discipline you, to bring order to your life. And then it says steward. Steward is an interesting word. They're almost the same words. But the word means tropos in the Greek. It means someone who establishes the character, the manner, and conversation, and commission in someone's life. Now look at the two differences. They're close to being the same words. But the guardian is someone who oversees your life. The steward is someone who trains your life. Who speaks into your life. Who teaches you manner. And so in the home in Bible's days, the stewards were responsible for teaching the children the ways of the family. Oh my. Listen, houses were so big. Families were diverse in such different ways that the steward's responsibility was to teach the children how to be mature and how that the family and the order of the families to go. God will send people in your life that will help mature us. And the Word of God teaches us how the family is to go. How the church is to be run. How the church should operate. What's the conversation of the church? What's the manner of the church? What does the church represent? How should you act in church? How should you be as a member of the family or a member of the church? You'll never receive the inheritance until you're willing to let God take hold of your life and teach you how to be what God wants you to be. Even Paul spent 3 years on the backside of the Asian desert in order to be trained by Jesus himself. Now, if it took Paul 3 years, y'all think that in a 15-minute sermon, you're ready to run out and win the world. Jesus spent 3 years with Paul. I said 3 years. Some of y'all... Some of you can't get... I'm just going to say this. I don't want to miss my inheritance. I don't want to miss what God has for me. Everybody's got somebody in life that has to say and tell them the truth, that's able to tell them the truth in their life. Somebody has to see somebody in the life that can speak into their life and say, you can do better. You could be more on point. You could use a little more wisdom here and a little more knowledge there. You need to grow up here. You need to crucify this about you. Or you need to let this go. And you need to do this. And everybody needs somebody that God puts in them life to help them to be what God wants them to be. Because you'll never receive an inheritance while you're walking here unless you learn the principle of coming under people God placed in your life. Mm-hmm. God has an inheritance. Why church? Why church? Because it's the only place where God can build relationships in our lives that help us move forward in the blessing of God instead of hold us back. Let me tell you, the place you work, your boss really is not that interested in you moving forward personally. He's interested in what you can do for his company. Huh? Y'all hear what I'm saying? That's the society we live in. If you ain't got nothing for me, I ain't got nothing for you. But I'm here to tell you there's an inheritance for the church. And that God wants to take people. Listen, God saves you. And He changes you. But He also wants us to grow up and mature so that later on we can be used in the kingdom of God. And we can walk in the inheritance that God has for us. That's God's desire for our lives. Salvation is simple, see? We get saved, we receive Jesus. It's the simplicity of salvation. Aren't you glad salvation, the simplicity of salvation? I've known people that won't come to Jesus because it is too simple. But the truth is, coming to Christ was easy. And there's a simplicity about it. God made it that way. God made the simplicity of coming to Christ and the simplicity of salvation. But the kingdom is not that way. In fact, Jesus made it clear that the kingdom is hidden and has to be searched for. Matter of fact, He said this. He said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then all these things shall be added unto you." You're to seek the kingdom of God. You're to seek out the kingdom of God. You're to pursue the kingdom of God. You're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. In other words, Ephesians 2 talks about everything Jesus operated in is our inheritance. And the thing is that everything Jesus did, He allows the church to do. And you say, well, we don't see the miracles that Jesus did. We don't see the things that I know it's not happening. But it doesn't mean that that's not what's supposed to be. And just because it's not happening and you're not seeing it, doesn't mean that it's not supposed to be that way. It doesn't mean that God did not make access for it. And I think one of the reasons we're fasting is because there is an inheritance that comes. Listen, there's an inheritance that comes with fasting and prayer. Isaiah 58 says that it expedites things that you've been praying for in God. There's an inheritance that comes with fasting and prayer. There's an inheritance with corporate fasting that comes. In other words, there's an inheritance that comes on the body when we understand the principles of prayer and fasting. And it moves us into a place of maturity as a church. How many as a church want to be mature in what God has for us? But we have 5 people at prayer and we have 30 people at breakfast. Okay, that's all right. Give me that look. I don't care if there's 30 people at breakfast. But if to be a mature church, we're going to have people pray. I hope there's 100 people at breakfast, but I hope there's 300 people praying. Y'all don't like that. You don't like that because that hits you right in the flesh. And the truth is, we've got to learn to shift. We've got to learn to shift from being just a word church of mouth and being a church of action, doing what God's called us to do. But I want to tell you something. Nothing's going to come unless we become mature and learn how to pray. Learn how to walk in anointing. Learn how to walk in prayer. We can play church all you want. I mean, we can play it. I can play church. I've been watching it for 30 years. I know how to play church. We can do it, man. You can come in here and I can just keep you for 45 minutes. And I can make your ears tickle. I'll make you laugh and I'll make you cry. I'll put a bow in your hair, slap you up top of the head and tell you to come back next week. I can make you feel good, right? That's what some folks want. That's what we want. You know why people desire that? Because they don't want to mature in God. Because what happens is, and people get mad because somebody puts a demand on their life. puts a demand on their life to be faithful. Where in the world do you read in the Scripture? Jesus said this to us. He said, listen. He said, drop it, baby, and follow me. There was no negotiation. Jesus said, follow me. He said, leave it all behind. Paul said, I apprehend this one thing, that I call all things lost, that I might apprehend him. In other words, Paul said, all the things that I pursued before I found Christ, all the education, all the pursued, all of the traditions of men, all of the accolades, all of the education, all of that that I pursued. Paul said, I count all those things lost that I might be found in the righteousness of God. Huh? God wants us to step into a place of maturity. There's an inheritance that He has for us. Woo! I feel good this morning. And just because it's not happening, I'm not going to embrace what's not happening as normal. I'm just telling y'all. We may not be seeing blind eyes open and people walking out on crutches yet, but that don't mean I have to accept that as normal. And what we've done too long, we've accepted those kind of things as normal. We've accepted the fact, well, it's I'm still going to be believing. I'm still going to trust that God is going to do miracles. I'm still going to trust that God will take us to a place of maturity, that when we walk into the place, we create an atmosphere where the supernatural can begin to happen in the lives of people. Now, you don't have to believe it if you don't want to, but just because you don't believe it doesn't mean that it's not truth. Doesn't mean that God doesn't want to do it. Doesn't mean that God doesn't want to move on your life and move on this car. Doesn't mean that God don't want to heal the sick. It doesn't mean that God don't want the gifts of the Spirit flowing throughout this. Just because it's not happening doesn't mean that God doesn't want it. But I'm going to believe for it. Because the Bible said the same power that rose Christ from the dead lives inside of me. There's resurrection life that is on the inside of me and that's on the inside of you. That same resurrection life on the inside of me is on the inside of you. Which means that resurrection power that was in Jesus is in you. Now I have a theory of why we don't see what we see in Jesus' day. And the part of the reason is because most of it is not rooted in love. It's not rooted or grounded in love. Nothing will mature any more than a journey through love. I'm going to tell you, nothing will mature you any more than the journey through love. The Scripture says love bears all things, suffers all things, believes all things, hopes all things, keeps no record of wrongs and rights, believes the best, rejoice not in iniquity. And basically what it means is this. Listen, here's what it means. If my life is really rooted in love, are you ready? Here comes the sucker punch. If my life is really rooted in love, then anything you do can't offend me. Huh? I said, if my life is really rooted in love, there's nothing you can say and nothing you can do to offend me. Right? Because... because God has to teach us to love like that. Amen. It takes mature love to love people outside of where they are right now and to look at people at what their potential is and not where they are right now. Right. A mature church has the ability to look at people at not where they are, but where God wants to take them. Yeah. A mature people, God will bring, listen, you ask God to mature you, He'll bring people in here to mature you. Amen. You'll have to love people that are hard to love. You'll have to deal with people that are hard to deal with. In other words, when I pray and ask God to bring maturity in my life, what does God do? He'll bring people into my life that need to be loved. And the truth is, I can't preach to you. I can't love you. Because look, we all have issues. You have problems. You have issues in your life. You have areas of your life. You have problems. You have areas in your life. You have flesh. You have these things in your life. But I can't look at you and say those things that you are struggling with. disqualify you from the goodness of God. Because the truth is, if I love you, I'll be willing to walk with you through whatever you're walking through till you reach the place of maturity. And that means you have to love me. See, God operates in a principle called representation. He operates in representation. Why were we born into sin? Huh? Why were we born into sin? How were we born into sin? We were born into sin through representation. I didn't do nothing. And when I came into this world, I was all jacked up. Huh? Why is that? Why is it I didn't do anything, but when I got here, that sin nature was in me? Why? Because I had a representative. How did we get that way? Adam is our... The Bible said that because of Adam's sin, that we were born into sin. And when Adam died, we all died. Is that not true? Man, when I get to heaven, I'm gonna corner that dude. Because he's cost me some trouble, huh? I'm telling you, Adam has cost me some problems. Huh? Has he not cost you some? I don't even, I've never met the dude. Why? Because we're born into sin. You're born bent. That's why a two-year-old can look at you and say, no. I was in a grocery store not too long ago, and I was looking for some juice or water or seltzer water, and I'm standing there. I was in Kroger, and I'm standing there looking at it, and a cart went by, and it had a three-year-old, and this little three-year-old turned, and he cussed at his mom, and cussed. I went. And his mom said, don't talk to me that way. I was like, you want to borrow it? Huh? Right? I'm just saying. I cringe. Now, how does a 3- and 4-year-old know? Some can be taught, environment can taught, but let me tell you, they're born that way. It's in you. But just as you, we have a representation in Adam, we also have a representation in Christ Jesus. That when He came and died, that we have the right to have access to the righteousness of God. He washed us and cleansed us. When He died, our sin died. And so when He got up, I got up. When He got up, my marriage got up. My kids got up. My purpose got up. When Jesus got up, your life got up. Hope got up when Jesus got up. Why? The righteousness in Him and what God has given Him, He has given to us. Hallelujah. Woo! I'm about ready to have a spell! Hallelujah! God works through representation. God works through representation. God works through representation. Now, I'm going to kill the atmosphere right here because this, I got to say this. Because, see, what is the tithe? The tithe is representation. Oh, okay. All right, I just killed everything God did right there. I lost every one of y'all. What's the tithe? It's representation. God says, you give me 10%, I'll sanctify the 100. Oh, yeah, okay, That's what He does. You give me the 10, I'll say, why? Because the money you made was made in the world, and the spirit of the world is on that money. And God says, you give me 10, I'll sanctify the rest of it. I'd rather live with 90% that's sanctified than live with 100 that's cursed. I'm just going to tell you. Why? What's the spirit of the world? God will take the 10% and break the spirit of the world off of that. Lack, greed, poverty, selfishness. But He'll take the 90 and He'll make it more than enough. He'll make you generous. He'll make it holy. He'll make it unselfish. And I want to tell you, when you sanctify the things that God has asked us to sanctify, nothing can steal. Listen, the Bible says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But when we learn to walk in the inheritance that God has given us, the enemy has no right to what is ours. Woo! Yeah! Yeah! Huh? Y'all help me! Help me! Help me, Jesus! Help me, Jesus! I'm ready to go into a Pentecostal fit right now. Why? Because I got a representative this morning. You got a representative this morning. Woo! All right, I'm going to end it with this, I promise you. Woo! Now, you have to understand that God uses guardians and stewards in our lives. The problem we have is that we struggle with the fact that God doesn't do it the way we want God to do it. Huh? Say, y'all, listen, I'm telling y'all, I'm going to help y'all. Children of Israel cried out for 400 years for a deliverer. Did they not? God deliver us, God deliver us, God deliver us, God deliver us. And Exodus 3 said God heard their prayer. God said, I'm going to send you a deliverer. God said, I'm going to bring you a deliverer. And what does God do? He goes out and he says, Moses, come here. Right, Moses? And God says, I'm going to bring you an 80-year-old dude who's a fugitive from justice to deliver you. And here come Moses. And I could see him now. For real, God? For real? This is what you bringing? For real? A dude that's been in the desert for 40 years that killed an Egyptian that's going to get us all killed? Right? Huh? And for the next 40, they complained about Moses. And Moses said, Lord, I can't even speak. God said, that's all right. I'll send you Aaron, who could be your mouthpiece. And the problem they had, and they had that problem with Moses and every step he took, because they were unable to receive what God had sent to them and the package that God... Let me tell you some things that God used to mature you may not come in the package that you want them to come in. Sometimes they'll come through the most unlikely things in your life. Because I believe sometimes God has to offend our conscience in order to get a hold of what He's doing in our lives. And the children of Israel struggled. They complained about Moses from the time they began to the time they ended. But what did he do? God put his spirit on him. And he let him out. Put his anointing on him. Only Moses could have walked in there to Pharaoh and had the boldness that he had in order to tell. Listen, God used what was unexpected. I'm telling you, God can use anything to get through in our lives what He wants to get purposed in our lives. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Adam, if you'd come, not Adam in the Bible, Adam, worship leader. Stand with me this morning, if you would. God has an inheritance for us. Matter of fact, the Scripture goes on to say that He might redeem those who are under the law, that He might redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. God sent the forth His Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you're no longer a slave, but a son, and you're an heir. In other words, when you understand the principle of what God does in our life, He wants to mature us, and maturity is what brings us in to inheritance. Maturity is what brings us into a place to receive from God. Now, here's what's interesting. I tease Becky and Lois. I call them Mary and Martha in Scripture. Now, they're not really Mary and Martha, but I tease them. And I've read that Scripture for many years. Matter of fact, Jesus showed up at Mary and Martha's house, and Martha was fluffing pillows and cooking beans. And... Because Jesus was coming. What else you cook when Jesus comes? Beans, right? I don't know. Martha's fluffing pillows and cooking beans. And Jesus shows up and Mary becomes enamored with Jesus. And Mary sits at the feet of Jesus, absolutely apprehended by Him. Martha got ticked. She said, "Jesus, tell her to help me and to get up now." Martha was mad because all Mary wanted to do was sit at the feet of Jesus. Now, I've preached that before, and I said we need Marthas in the church and we need Marys in the church. You know what that is? That's neutral preaching. That's a preacher not wanting to offend people. And I used to preach like that. I ain't preaching like that no more. But there is a principle there. Martha should have been sitting at Jesus' feet also. But what she tried to do, she tried to fulfill that which God begun in the Spirit through the flesh. That's why Paul said in Galatians, "Who has bewitched you to believe that that which began in the Spirit can be fulfilled through the flesh? Who has bewitched us to believe that the things of God that are Spirit can be fulfilled through the flesh?" We'll never win this city by the flesh. We'll never win this city. Listen, it's good. It's good to pass out food. It's good to clothe people. That's what we should do. The Spirit of God's on that. But if we don't offer hope, if we don't offer healing, if we don't see the miraculous, if we don't see the power of God to transform, all you're doing is putting some clothes on somebody and feeding them. Right? It's the same way with fasting. If you fast and don't pray, all you're doing is dieting. You think I call this fast because I need to lose weight? I do need to lose weight. But why? Why? Because when we fast and pray, we become mature. And I'm just not doing it because I want to lose some weight, even though I'm looking pretty good. I should say so myself. But Jesus turned and said, "Mary has chosen the greater thing. Mary, Martha, you're ministering to the flesh. In other words, Mary's posture was to His deity. Martha's posture was to His flesh. And if we're ever going to mature, we need to learn how. We need to learn how to posture to His deity. Martha chose to minister to Jesus. Mary chose to minister to the Lord. I'm going to tell on myself. Don't judge me. But many years ago, there was a movie that I liked. It had Eddie Murphy in it. And it was called Coming to America. Anybody ever see that movie? Now, y'all don't judge me. I know some of y'all watched it too. But the story was the king that came to America, who was a king undercover. But when he was a janitor, they treated him one way. But when they found out he was a king, they treated him another way. That's exactly right. That's typical. Jesus said this. They said, Jesus said, "When I was hungry, you didn't feed me. When I was thirsty, you didn't give me drink. When I was in prison, you didn't visit me." And they said what? They said, "Lord, when were you hungry? Lord, when were you thirsty? Lord, when were you sick?" And the truth is, everyone that's hungry is representative of Jesus. Everyone who's thirsty, everyone who has need, everyone. But mature people understand that when you help with the flesh, you just don't help with the flesh, but you minister to the Spirit also. It's one thing to feed people, but it's another thing to lead people to Christ. It's another thing to give people an opportunity to come out of where... It's one thing to help people with their bills, but it's another thing to teach them how to get a budget. It's one thing to help people through difficult times, but it's another thing to help them get back on their feet. It's one thing to put clothes on people, but it's another thing to help them get a job so they can clothe themselves. It's one thing. Y'all hearing what I'm saying? That's inheritance. So just lift your hands this morning. And I want to pray a prayer of inheritance over you this morning. And maybe you're here this morning and you'd say, Pastor, I've got areas of my life that I need to be matured. I want to value the relationships that you bring into my life because I know that in those relationships you're going to help me steward my life. And I know sometimes they don't always come in the package that I want them to come, but sometimes they come in ways that maybe I've overlooked and I've not seen the value of some. I will not treat the janitor any different than I treat the king. I will not treat. I will not treat the homeless any different than I treat the millionaire. Because to be mature is to say we all are representative of Christ. So, Father, I pray that the spirit of maturity would come upon us. You would mature us as a church and as a body. And I release the inheritance of God into this fellowship. Christ-likeness come into this fellowship. I pray the gifts of the Spirit be released in this house right now. I pray the power and the anointing of God to fall upon us, to be a church that just doesn't give someone food, but has the ability to pray and see the power of God transform their life. Lord, help us to walk into our maturity and that when the Spirit of God comes in us, we learn to cry, Abba, Father, and now we are no longer a son, we are an heir. Or a slave, but a son and an heir. So, Father, may Your blessing be upon Your people. Now, if you need God to minister and move into your life right now, just lift your hands up high. Father, I just pray blessing upon these that have needs this morning. I pray the Holy Spirit to overshadow them and strengthen them and guide them and lead them this morning. I pray the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome them. And I thank You, Lord God, that You have brought us again to the house of the Lord. And we thank You, Father, that the best is yet to come, that we will walk in the inheritance that You have for us. We will seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, knowing that all these things shall be added unto us. As Paul, we shall count all lost, but we apprehend this one thing that we push forward to the righteousness of Christ in Him. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's saints said, Amen. Amen. Would you give God a great big clap offering?